Well, my mother always said it, and yours probably did too. Patience is a virtue. You ever hear that growing up? And if you've been blessed like I have been, my mother's voice has been replaced by a loving wife who, Linda, always ready, willing, and able to step in and say, well, just remember, patience is a virtue. You think by this stage of life I would have gotten the message. And yet, I still need to be reminded of that fact. I was speaking with one of our members earlier this morning, and this particular member said, the older I get, the more patience I need. You know, patience is a virtue, but let's be honest about patience. There are situations, there are circumstances, and sometimes there are people in your life that just drive you up a wall, aren't there? I mean, is there anyone here today, anyone who enjoys and looks forward to going to the Department of Motor Vehicle? Oh, how about this? When you press 1 for this department and 3 for the certain person in that department and 7 for their secretary, and then you spend 20 minutes on hold before you can leave a message that you know will never be listened to or answered. How do you deal with that? And yes, there are people who are hard to love. You try and you try and you try to pour out your love on them, and yet they remain totally insensitive to you. You try to remain genuine, but they deliberately misunderstand you. They knife you in the back. And when you encounter this kind of person or these kinds of circumstances, you may be inclined to cry out that very well-known prayer, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. Well, this fall, we have been looking at 9 slices of delicious, delightful fruit that Paul identifies in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and puts under the heading, the fruit of the Spirit. These are 9 godlike qualities that God plants inside the hearts of those who follow Jesus and seek his face. These are 9 ways in which you can be more like God. 9 wonderful character qualities that give you and the people who are around you just a little taste of heaven on earth. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Paul says, against such things there's no law. No holds bar, nothing stopping you from putting any of that into play, into practice in your life. And this morning, we're coming to what may be, perhaps, your greatest need in life, and that's patience. I know it's one of mine. And you know you need more patience, and you want more patience, and you long for more patience, and you seek after patience, and you pray for patience. I'll tell you, week after week, you know, we get these cards every single week. One among you writes on this card, please pray for me to have more patience. Well, nobody wants to go through life being short-tempered or agitated or rude or unkind. But alongside this desire to develop patience, it is so easy to overlook the fact that the presence of patience in our lives, it's a long-term thing. It's a lifelong pursuit, which often comes about as the result of experiencing mistreatment or provocation or the shortcomings of others or even waiting on God to fulfill his promises. I'm going to ask you this morning to turn in your Bibles, please, to James chapter 5. James 5, we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 11 in there. It's page 1013 if you want to use one of the Bibles in the seat rack. But in these verses from the book of James, James, who is Jesus' half-brother, compares patience with the fruit-bearing process. And I want to think with you for a moment before we read the scripture about how much James must have had to know about patience. I mean, can you imagine having Jesus for your older brother? James, 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 why can't you be more like your older brother Jesus? You know, why can't you do that? And so James has patience on his mind, and James wants you to know that true patience, the kind of patience that mirrors the patience of God, is the result of God's work inside of you. As we've been seeing throughout this entire year, bearing fruit for God cannot be rushed, it cannot be forced, it cannot be manipulated, it cannot be manufactured by human effort or human ingenuity. We are completely dependent on God to produce His fruit inside of us, fruit that honors and fruit that pleases Him, fruit that puts God's glory and God's power on display. Yet, at the same time, we are totally responsible to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and to do all that we can to cultivate and to nurture the fruit of patience. So let's give our attention to the reading of God's Word in James 5 and see what the Lord has for us here today on this whole great theme of patience. Verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against anyone, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." And this is God's living, powerful, relevant, active word for us today. Now, by and large, our modern English translations of the Bible use the word patience to translate a whole constellation of different words from the original Hebrew and Greek texts of Scripture. And in the original languages, each one of these words has a different flavor, which is lost to us by lumping them all together and just incorporating them in this single word, patience. But if you take time to dig below the surface and look at these different words, put them alongside of each other, you get a richer and a fuller understanding and appreciation of what God does in you to enable you to react to people and situations and circumstances with God's kind of patience. Our purpose this morning is to look at some of these different words with very broad brushstrokes so that we can develop a bigger picture, a more complete picture of how it is that God wants us to display God-like patience in all of the various situations that require it. So first up, we'll say, is patience in the face of mistreatment and abuse? Older English translations of the Bible, such as the King James Version, use the word long-suffering to describe the kind of patience needed to suffer the mistreatment of others over a long period of time without getting bitter or resentful. Now, in saying this, the very moment I say this, I must offer an immediate disclaimer and say that abuse of any kind, physical, emotional, verbal, sexual, it is sinful and it is indefensible. The presence and the prevalence of all these kinds of forms of abuse is just one manifestation that we live in the middle of a broken down world, a world that is scarred by sin. The Bible, when it speaks about this quality of long-suffering that God can grow in us, is not for one minute suggesting or sanctioning the presence of any kind of abuse. What we're speaking of is the supernatural ability to bear up under weariness and strain and persecution while serving the purposes of God. If you are an abuser of any kind, You need to recognize your abuse for what it is, the sin that it is, and repent of that sin. Get the help that you need to stop hurting others and to welcome the grace of God and seek the forgiveness of those you have been hurting. Pursue reconciliation. Pursue restitution with all those that you have damaged and disfigured. And on the other end of it, if you are the victim of abuse or violence, you also need help. You need guidance to know how you can both respond in a godly, Christ-like way, while at the same time establishing appropriate boundaries that limit your abuser's access and opportunity to injure you. But that being said, there are times and there are cases where, by God's design, certain levels of mistreatment may persist over a long period of time. And James, remember James, we read a minute ago, James points to the prophets as exhibit A of this kind of mistreatment and abuse. Look at verse 10. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, if you know anything about the prophets in the Old Testament, the prophets spoke up for God. The prophets spoke for God. They spoke God's word to the people, but God's people didn't show them very much appreciation. They didn't validate their message. They didn't encourage them for their work, did they? No, most of the prophets got mistreated. They got persecuted. Quite a few got killed. And now, yes, our situation is quite different from that of the prophets, and yet this kind of abuse and mistreatment does exist among us today in slightly different forms and perhaps in more subtle ways, but it is by no means any less painful than it was then. Think about office politics, right? What goes on in the office, or the power plays that can go on in organizations as people claw their way up to the top? Ridicule, scorn, insults, undeserved rebukes, situations where your life or your well-being are not necessarily being threatened, but situations in which God may choose to glorify himself through you as you turn the other cheek to the mistreatment of others. And again, I would just have to say that discernment and the counsel of godly friends are so important in assessing this and sorting it all out. How do you know which is which and when is it when? It takes some time. It takes some help. It takes some outside voices to get that. But how can you display patience or long-suffering? How should you display patience or long-suffering in the midst of circumstances or relationships like these? Well, notice what James says at the end of verse 9. James says, the judge is standing at the door. The judge is standing at the door. Consider and hold on to the justice of God. Never forget, never lose sight of the fact that God sees, God knows, God cares, and God will act in his time and in his way. Picking up on this very theme of God's justice, when the apostle Peter writes to slaves who need to learn how to be patient under the unjust and harsh treatment of their masters, Peter tells them to follow the example of Christ. In 1 Peter 2:23, he says, speaking of Jesus, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. That's a great example. Not retaliating, not responding in kind, continuing to put your hands back or put your life back into the hands of God. Because why? The judge is standing at the door. Entrust yourself to the judge. Being like Jesus and keeping your mouth closed when you feel that someone or life in particular has dealt you an unfair hand or trampled on your life, that is one of the greatest challenges going. Keeping your mouth closed like Jesus kept his mouth closed. A Christian who's growing in patience will leave matters in God's hands when he or she is mistreated without seeking to try to balance the scales of justice on our own, in our own way. God will render his justice in his time and in his way. And it may not be in this life. There are some things that just will not be settled on this side of heaven, but they will be settled. God's time, God's way. You can never go wrong if you follow the example of Jesus as he hangs on the cross and he prays, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." In order to develop patience when you face mistreatment by others, you need to hold on your belief in the faithfulness of God, knowing that God is faithful to work on your behalf. Again, quoting from Peter, 1 Peter 4:19, he says, "Let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." Again, please hear those words, see those words, according to God's will. Those who suffer according to God's will. This comes into our life by God's design. And when it comes to suffering according to God's will, we really could never find, I don't think, in all of history, a better example than Joseph in the Old Testament. Remember Joseph? Joseph was hated and sold into slavery by his brothers. He was falsely accused by his employer's wife of making advances upon her when she's the one who was seeking to have a relationship with him. Joseph, who was imprisoned because of that and forgotten by those that he helped to get out of prison. At the end of the story, when all is said and done, Joseph finally reunited and face to face with his brothers, he says, Genesis 50:20, "As for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Look to the example of Jesus. Think of what Peter writes to us. Think about this model that Joseph gives us. Genesis 50:20. You can remember that verse. I heard someone recently speak on this verse, and they said, we should have 50:20 vision. That weird, they were talking about Genesis 50:20. So just think of 50:20 vision, and you'll find this verse when you need to find it. All right, patience in the face of mistreatment and abuse, and then moving on, patience in the face of provocation. So right alongside of mistreatment and abuse comes provocation. Provocation occurs when the actions of others stir up anger inside of you and result in you losing your cool. So ask yourself this morning, what causes me to lose my temper? What provokes me to anger? Are there people who are continually goading you or nagging you or really just out and out to get your goat? I mean, parents or teachers, do your children or students deliberately defy your authority and perhaps push the envelope on the other end of that spectrum? And children, young people who are here, do you just do things in order to get a reaction out of your parents? I think you do, because I know I did, and I think every single person in here, if they were honest, would say they did the same thing to their parents too. Just saying or doing something, not because you even mean it, but just to see how they react. Get them all worked up or agitated at you. That is what we're talking about here when it comes to provocation. But Jerry Bridges, a contemporary author, writes that whatever form provocation takes, it is often deliberate. But we are in a position to either retaliate or punish swiftly or harshly or respond with patience. So how does God want you to respond with patience in the face of provocation? And once again, of course, we need to look at the example of God. We need to imitate God. This is how God describes himself to Moses in Exodus 34, 6 and 7. He says, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That's the standard. That's the goal. That's the model. God shows the riches of his patience to people who least deserve it. And so when we deal patiently with others, we imitate God. James tells us back at the beginning of his letter that we must be slow to anger, quick to hear, slow to speak. Slow to anger, James says. Be slow to anger. It's, you know, it's a cliche of sorts, but nothing becomes a cliche by not being true. But the cliche is that's why God gave you two ears and one mouth, so you listen twice as much as you speak. That's good practical advice, but James has it even better. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. So you want to learn to be more patient with others? Well, then meditate on this. Think about this. Think about how much God is patient with you. Think of Jesus' parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew chapter 18. You know that story about the king who forgives the $10 million debt against one servant, and then he goes out basically and chokes the throat of the guy who owes him $50. And you know, that's a parable to teach about forgiveness, but I'm extending it here to just think about that's the way God deals with you with patience, like $10 million worth of patience. And you lose patience with others over things that are, by comparison, trivial or less significant. I mean, what could be worse than the way that you throw it in God's face with your disobedience and your rebellion? You know, as parents, it is so easy to discipline children in anger. But when God disciplines us, He disciplines us with love. It may not feel good, we may not like it, but it is all coming out of love. So do you have a short fuse? Do you find it easy to lose your temper? And, well, do you want to do something about that? Well, first, pray. Pray for God's Spirit to change you from the inside out. Nothing's going to happen if you don't pray and ask for it. But then, second, and a practical step. Every time you lose your temper, and I mean every time you lose your temper with someone else or you have an outburst, you apologize out loud. There's no quicker way to grow in humility and to develop a deeper sense of your own sinfulness than to constantly hear yourself apologizing to someone over and over and over, time after time. One of you once told me that your spouse suggested to you, you wouldn't need to apologize so much if you didn't talk so much. Well, that spouse may have had a point. I don't live in that family, but I get it. All right. Now, another area for patience. Patience when it comes to tolerating the shortcomings of other people. James, again, right up front, verse 9, he says, "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged." Now, it's very possible, perhaps quite probable, that learning to be patient with the faults and the foibles and the failures of others gives you your greatest opportunity to grow in patience. I mean, why are other people just so downright irritating? I mean, they're late, they're rude, they're inconsiderate, they disappoint you in so many different ways, and what's with all these other drivers on the road? Why are they going so slow? And why are they weaving in and out of my lane? And when I'm at a light and it changes and I'm the second or third car in line and it's green, it's not going to get any greener. Why don't they go? Of course, all of that irritation, all of that anger, it's rooted in my own pride. My own pride. I could do it better. I could do it faster. I'm on time. Why aren't they? Why can't they just get to the point instead of babbling on like this? Or I would never say that. I would never act like that. It's pride. That is just pride. Again, our modern English Bibles boil everything down to the single word patience, but the older English translations, they use the word forbearance to speak about this kind of patience. Forbearance is a tolerance that springs up out of our love for other people. A couple key verses to tuck in your arsenal of scripture memory, Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And then in Colossians 3, 13, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Two really good verses to hold on to. If you don't think you can memorize them right away, write them on a little card. Keep them in your pocket. Pull it out. Read it. Think about it. Let that be guiding and shaping your thinking throughout the day. You know, over the years of my opportunities to serve the Lord in ministry and in different ministry settings and different churches, my role has looked different at different times. And at one season, when I was primarily involved with music and worship, I would have children's choirs, big groups of children. We often would do these huge, huge musical productions, sound, lights, costumes, the whole thing. One of those productions was actually about the fruit of the Spirit. It was called The Music Machine, and there was a character in The Music Machine who was a turtle named Herbert, and Herbert caused a traffic jam, and all the car horns were beeping and blaring and, you know, shouting and screaming, all this other stuff going on, and this was Herbert's song. Have patience, don't be in such a hurry. Could take a break there. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember that God is patient too, and think of all the times that others have to wait for you. Simple, but it works. It sticks with me. And again, I think that just puts us right back in Matthew 18, that parable of the unforgiving servant. This parable describes us to a T when we get impatient with others, because every day God is pouring out patience on you when your shortcomings. And every day then, when you are tempted to grow impatient with your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, your coworkers, think of how much more your faults and your sins and your failures before God are so much more significant than all these petty little nuisances and irritations that get you all bent out of shape. Well, should you just let it all go? Should you never correct someone? Should you never address an irritating habit that someone has? No, Jesus doesn't say that. He says, speak the truth in love. You know, address things, but do it in love. And Jesus also reminds you, be sure if you're going to do that, get that big 2x4 out of your eye before you go after that speck of sawdust in someone else's eye. So patience in tolerating the shortcomings of others. And then finally, patience when waiting on God. Because you know, there are many, many times throughout life that we have to learn to be patient with God's timetable. So we cry out to Him, as we wait on Him to fulfill His promises. Perhaps you've prayed for a long time for the salvation of a loved one. Perhaps you have waited on God to heal your illness, or you have longed for God to restore a broken relationship, or you have dealt with the pain of infertility and the unfulfilled longing of having a child. In our text, God speaks through James, and James likens this kind of patience to, again, the patience of a farmer. Look at verse 7. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. We've talked about this all year long. Crops don't just spring up. It doesn't just happen overnight. We've already considered what James has said about the prophets and about the people who spoke up for God and were persecuted by God and who rarely, if ever, got any sense of fulfillment of their prophecies in their lifetime. But James then segues into yet another illustration in verse 11 as he calls us to think about Job. Look at verse 11. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You've heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purposes of God, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. I mean, if you know the story of Job, you know that God never, never explains to Job why he suffers the things he suffers, and why he is afflicted in the ways in which he is afflicted. you and I, as the readers, we get a behind-the-scenes look at the beginning of the story to show that God is using Job to prove that he will give persevering grace that is far greater to his children than anything, than the worst evil that Satan has to dish out. He will hold me fast, as we sang earlier. But as we watch Job process and prevail against all the insurmountable odds that he has to face, we see that Job is able to do that only because he trusts in both the nature and the character and the promises of God. Many times we go through trials and testing in our life. We don't understand what God's purposes are behind them, and we may never understand them in this life. Again, Jerry Bridges, that contemporary author I mentioned a moment ago, he says, whatever the source of our adverse circumstances, the key to endurance and patience is to believe that God is ultimately in control, working out events for our good. In Scripture, endurance and perseverance often go hand in hand. They're linked together. We can just sort of slap, again, a sort of cliche phrase over them. No pain, no gain. But it seems like if you're going to grow in patience, you're going to have to go through something that's going to stretch you and make you exercise your patience. In Romans, Paul says, suffering produces perseverance. James says that the testing of our faith produces steadfastness and ability to stay the course, even in the face of difficulties and challenges and trials and testings. Trials always change our relationship with God. Trials will either drive you to God or trials will drive you away from God. And you have to make the choice. Which is it going to be? Am I going to run to God or am I going to run away from God? So the fruit of patience wears many different faces: long-suffering, forbearance, endurance, perseverance. Where do you need to grow? What on that list is your greatest need today? Because every day, throughout the day, you need God's enabling grace to produce the fruit of patience. Every day throughout the day, you need to be stretching and strengthening your patience muscle in the midst of all the small day-to-day frustrations and irritations, as well as in the face of the major trials and the testings and the sufferings and the heartaches and the setbacks. So my prayer for you, and I hope you would pray it for me too, is that we all would grow together in the fruit of patience as we face times of crisis, as we oppose evil, and as we wait for our Lord's return. And let's go to the throne of the Lord in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for all of this wonderful fruit that you produce in our lives. Thank you today especially for giving us the opportunity to bear and to produce this fruit of patience that's beyond us. We can't work it up in ourselves. We confess that. We need your help in it, Lord. But we also know that if we were able to go through the day and to reflect more of that patience in the world where you put us, we know that it would be attractive and compelling to others, and it would be radically different than what we see acted out and what we experience so many times in the face of other situations. So, Lord, help us to grow in that way. Help us to grab hold of this, to hold on to Scripture, to hold on to your nature, your character, your promises, and continue to encourage one another too. Lord, to give each other encouraging words about this, to stand strong together as we seek to produce the fruit of the Spirit through our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to